The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. David Johnson didn't touch the ball once. Herm Edwards, he decided to go for two. The end of the Cardinals game for the bettors in Vegas. How great a story is that? It was a heck of a weekend. And we had the first open division games on Friday night in high school football. So for me, it was like pig and slop. Friday night high school, Saturday great college football, and yesterday the Cardinals game. So it was a lot of fun. Daryl Moose Johnston did the color on the game yesterday. It was part of the broadcast with the NFL on Fox. And he's going to be with us here in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with Moose about the direction that he sees. You know, they get in these production meetings on Fridays or Saturdays with coaches. And coaches try to hide stuff and not be transparent. I'm going to give you a little behind the scenes of what it's like when they prepare for a broadcast and how forthcoming Cliff Kingsbury is. So we will talk with Daryl Moose Johnston. That comes up at 10:20. I'm fine with the Cardinals being 3-7-1 because they're not that far away. Their defense is just not good. If you want to fire Vance Joseph today, I don't know. Try firing players. If you're going to come down to one play, and that one play is Chandler Jones on a running back, and that's enough to fire a guy? Guys, we want to fire people all the time. It's like the ASU fans want to change with Rob Likens. Like it's his fault. Or it's Herm shouldn't be here. Herm should not have gone for two on Saturday night. He should have just kicked the extra point and gone into overtime. And the way that he explained things made no sense at all. And I would say that's been the problem here in Arizona forever. I hate to do this, but I have to. The last time that ASU played in the Rose Bowl was when Jake Plummer was here. That's a long time ago. And why is that? Because it's constant turnover and upheaval and people losing their minds rather than just stay the course. Cliff Kingsbury comes in here. I feel a lot better about a 3-7-1 Cliff Kingsbury than I did with Steve Wilks last year. I saw Steve Wilks on Thursday night freezing his keister off in Cleveland before Myles Garrett started throwing a helmet. And it was like, oh yeah, he was here for a year. And it was a good thing they punched his ticket and got him out of here. It's nothing personal. Just it wasn't happening. I feel like watching the Cardinals on Sundays, if they had an ounce of defense, just a little bit of defense, they would be something else. Kyler Murray is must-see TV. I could go watch the Patriots and Eagles. Because here's the thing. I'm not a fan. I don't care if the Cardinals win or lose. I just want to be entertained. I don't sit there and root. I never will do that. But I know if there's other games that are on, like what was it yesterday afternoon? There was the Bengals and Raiders. No, thank you. Don't care. The Eagles and Patriots, I got it. It's, you know, it's fine. Kyler Murray, he's got the 49ers on roller skates. They had no idea what to do on the defensive side in the early going. So they gag up a 16-point lead. Fans lose their minds. At least fans care, right? I tried to watch U of A. U of A's just turned into this total dumpster fire. Like, I don't know if Kevin Sumlin should be brought back next season. I kind of believe he's just another one who's gone to Tucson and realized, man, we haven't won here in ever, and we're not going to win here, and maybe being the receivers coach for the Raiders or something else should be the way to go. When I read in the Daily Star of Chuck Cecil's wife writing a column, are you kidding me? Are you market 530? You're going to have the defensive coordinator's wife write a column about how things are going? Who cares? Who cares? Give me some meat and potatoes of how to turn this thing around because nobody's able to do it. We're going to have Tyler Shuck on the show today. Another one that got away. Speaking of which, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy was awesome. Drives Eric crazy when I bring up Brock Purdy. Do you think I get paid by Brock by the words, Eric? Do you think I've got to work him in the show? Or could it be that when he's throwing across his body against Texas with guys all over him, 60 yards to an open receiver, and Iowa State beats Texas, that I should just mention he's a local kid? I'm not his fan club, am I? I'm not fanboying.
I'm just going to leave that then. But, you know, we both knew that, you know, when he was a junior at Perry High School and he was putting up ridiculous numbers. Like, everyone always comes, can you believe what Brock Purdy's doing?
No.
Yes, I can believe.
You can.
Because I've seen him when he was just a little unrecruited kid that was just completely shredding through the best region in the state of Arizona. Yeah. So nothing Brock does surprises me because he's got this, Brad. And when you can, when you have this, it makes up for a lot of the athletic shortcomings, wink, wink, even though I think Brock's a pretty good athlete, too.
Well, you know, Tyler Shuck is, he and Brock worked out together. They're with Minucci doing quarterback stuff. And I think Rudy, too. And so, and the two of them, I think, are kind of close. And so here's Tyler Shuck, who's just sat in anonymity behind Justin Herbert, who, by the way, could be the number one quarterback taken in the draft.
But when Tyler Shuck has played, he's looked pretty good for the Ducks.
And Mario Cristobal's been talking him up. Like, he's going to step in there next year, and it's going to be.
And he's going to be what, a redshirt junior, sophomore next
redshirt
year?
Sophomore.
I think you're right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's wait your turn and go out there and ball. So,
Mike Fabiano's going to be with us today. One other thing, Eric, on Shuck. So, Saturday night in the Open, Hamilton with Brady Shuck,
who is a really good player in his own right,
plays at Coronado High School against Saguaro.
Great venue, by the way. Let's pick the worst high school stadium in the Scottsdale School District and play a really big game.
At the same time, Tyler
I didn't even know Coronado had a football stadium anymore.
I didn't know that either.
Continue.
At the same time, Tyler Shuck is going to be on the sideline. So I've done my research, and the Shuck mom and dad are splitting up.
Same
game, same time. Same batch.
Splitting,
channel.
Huh?
Well, not like splitting.
I know, but is mom going to go to the first half of the high school game and then dad's going to flip-flop and go to the second half of the
high school game? No, my understanding is mom is going to the Oregon game.
Okay.
I have really good intel on this.
Okay.
Mom is going to the Oregon game. Dad's going to the Hamilton game. And they're going to stay there. They're not going to, because what? Coronado to ASU is what? And Oregon's going to win. If you're an ASU fan and you think you're going to beat Oregon at this point, it would go down as one of the biggest victories in the history of ASU football if they beat Oregon, a team that is this close to making it in the CFP.
Coronado to ASU is 20 minutes, but that doesn't really count
half-time
game traffic and stuff. But they could time it where, you know, they could leave one stadium when the traffic isn't crazy and get to the other place.
It may not be crazy. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of green and gold because ASU fans are. The U of A game was announced today. So, finally, somebody, somewhere, figured it out. What do you know? 8 p.m., Saturday night, Thanksgiving weekend. What do you know? November 30th. And I say this because in years past, ASU has played U of A opposite of Auburn, Alabama, on the Pac-12 network or FS1. So, nobody is seeing it, right? So, what do you know? They're actually going to play on ESPN on Saturday night, the 30th. And that's going to be great. And that game's going to be for bowl eligibility for both schools, I do believe. So, yeah, Fabiano joins us at 10:50. Up next, though, is Daryl Moose Johnson. We're brought to you by Sagicor Now. Our opening comments from Sagicor Now: protect what matters most. And when I say protect what matters most, Have you looked into your life insurance? Have you said, you know, I've got everything in place here, Brad. I've got my 401k, I've got a pension, I've got this, I've got that. I don't have any life insurance. Okay, so if something happened to you tonight and you didn't come home, everything's not handled. You got to log on and get your free quote at Sagicor Now. It's at Sagicor Now. You can do this during the break and then come back and watch us do our thing with Daryl Moose Johnson. Sagicor Now, we appreciate Sagicor and their support. Daryl Moose Johnson is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's turn our attention now back to the Cardinal game yesterday. Daryl Moose Johnston, NFL on Fox, was there, called yesterday's game of the Cardinals and 49ers. Fans really upset at 3-7-1 at the bye week. Wanted to turn my attention and get the view from someone who's been around this league, who's seen football and feels as though the Cardinals, are they heading the right direction or not? Moose, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm good, Brad. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's just start with the Cardinals and the direction. Now that you've covered them this last week, saw them in San Francisco, been in the meetings, where do you feel like this team is at 3-7-1?
Well, I think they're definitely trending in the right direction. So the progress that they made from the first month of the season, I think is something that Cardinal fans should feel very positive about. So obviously, when you have the amount of change and transition that they've had in the off season, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road there. So the inconsistency that they've had, the inability to finish the close game, you know, those are all things that a young team has to go through the process of. So You know, it happened to us in Dallas when we were 1-15, and you know, just trying to change everything and turn everything around. And there was a lot of games that we should have won that year. We were not a good team, but we were not a 1-15 team. You know, we were a 5-10, maybe 4-12, but we didn't know how to win games that were close at the end. So I think Arizona's going through a lot of the same challenges that we went through back in 1989 with the Dallas Cowboys.
When you're sitting up in the booth and you see what Cliff Kingsbury is trying to accomplish here in year one, coming in with a lot of criticism, 11 games in, what do you make out of the job that he has done?
I like his aggressive coaching style. You know, I think that sends a very positive message to the players. You know, he was very honest about things in our production meeting, and we all appreciated that. You know, he talked about the beginning of the season and back in training camp where he didn't really kind of show the essence of his offense on film in preseason, didn't want people to be able to prepare for the regular season, and felt that kind of put him behind the curve. So maybe that accounts for the slow September. But he was very honest with us. And that's the one thing that you look for with your coach. You know, we've talked to some of the older players, of Patrick Peterson, who really likes the culture that Cliff Kingsbury is implementing out in Arizona. You know, Larry Fitzgerald, you know, was very excited to be a part of this transition. So when you get guys of that caliber that are, you know, in the twilight of their career, and you've got a young first-time head coach at the NFL, and you have those guys supporting what you're doing, I think that speaks volumes. And it's not just the results. You know, it's the kind of the stamp of approval from a Larry Fitzgerald, from a Patrick Peterson in those situations that I think that people could look towards and see that there's potentially better things down the road for the Arizona Cardinals.
Because you get in those production meetings to give the fans kind of a behind the scenes. A lot of times those meetings are pretty much one-sided, or you don't get as much honesty and openness, correct? If just to give the fans kind of what you're in like in those meetings, and for him to be an open book is somewhat refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always that you know, that concern, especially with the home team, because you're going to visit with the visiting team the next day.
Yep.
That they don't want to share a whole lot,
right?
From a schematic standpoint, from a strategy standpoint, from, you know, a philosophy standpoint. And this past weekend, I mean, both of our coaches, you know, Kyle Shanahan with the San Francisco 49ers and Cliff were incredibly open, incredibly honest with us. And that helps us do our broadcast. So, you know, it kind of leads us down different paths of conversation during our time there. And we had a great visit with Cliff on Saturday. It was very enjoyable. I really think that fans of the Cardinals have to realize, as good as the West is this year, I think going into last week, the NFC West, the remaining schedule, all four teams in the NFC West were in the top five of the most difficult schedules down the stretch. And that's because they're playing each other. So right now, Arizona's in a rebuilding phase with a very good San Francisco team. You know, Seattle is consistent as they've always been. A Rams team that's up and down, but was in the Super Bowl last year. So that makes it hard. And again, I'll parallel this with what we were doing in Dallas in 89. When we were going through our transition, we had, you know, we had the Giants that had just went to the Super Bowl, the Redskins that had just went to the Super Bowl, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who had, you know, a very unique historical defense. So our other three teams, and the St. Louis Cardinals, which became the Arizona Cardinals, were in that division as well.
Yeah,
so, you know,
sure.
You know, with the Arizona Cardinals in there, they were a very physical team. So, you know, it's hard to make that transition when you've got such a strong division top to bottom.
Darryl Moose Johnson with us, NFL on Fox. That was the first Cardinal game that you've done this year, Moose, is that right?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So what did you make out of Kyler Murray? First time seeing him up there at the NFL level and what he did.
I was very impressed. The most impressive thing to me is it really seems like all quarterbacks struggle with the value of the possession, not turning the football over. They're still kind of have a little bit of that college bravado, and the windows are much smaller. The athletes are much more athletic at this level. He has a healthy respect and does a great job protecting the football, and that gives his team a chance. That's why these games that Arizona is losing are such tight fits. You know, he's putting them in a position to win the game, and now it's just that that process, that development as a team to be able to close it out. But he throws the ball much better than I anticipated him, because, you know, for me, as this game is changing, especially at the quarterback position, there's some things from a historical perspective that, you know, I'll get stuck on, and you know, the platform and the pocket and just some of the different things that I grew up as a fan of the NFL and of quarterback play. The guys that are playing the position today are just very, very unique athletes. And whether it's a Patrick Mahomes or a Kyler Murray, you know, with their hips parallel to the line of scrimmage in an open position, being able to throw the ball with velocity and accuracy is so impressive. And I don't know if it's their baseball backgrounds, but you hear this more and more today. You know, does the quarterback have the ability to throw off multiple platforms? And it's becoming something that's even more critical to that position. And Kyler Murray, and you see it every week as a Cardinal fan, and we saw it yesterday. It doesn't really matter where his feet are set. Sometimes if they're not even, you know, firmly planted in the ground, you know, the velocity and the accuracy that he has as a thrower was one of the things that jumped out to me.
Before I let you go, just a quick thought on losing. Okay, you talked about the 1-15 that you went through. Kyler Murray's never lost like this. And I think, Darrell, he's really handled it well so far. But what do you see out of the losing side when a young player, especially at the quarterback position, that has never really suffered this many defeats, and how Kyler's handled it?
Yeah, that's a great point, because he's had success at every level that he's been at. Mm-hmm. You know, in the Dallas area, knowing his career at Allen High School, he never lost a game. You know, through high school, it's amazing. You know, I remember the 1 year that team had to go on the road every single week. They had an issue with their stadium, and they had to shut their stadium down for the entire football season. They went on the road every weekend and won every single game. They finished 16-0 as the Texas State champions. So, you know, that at that young age, that shows you his response to adversity. So there's the possibility that it'll get to him, but I don't see it happening to him. We talk about this a lot with people when you're building a team. Do you like guys that love to win or guys that hate to lose? And they're wired differently. And, you know, almost unanimously, guys will say, I really prefer the guys that hate to lose, because when that happens, they're very, very diligent in what they have to do the following week to prevent that from happening again. And I know that Kyler Murray is doing everything he possibly can to make sure that he can do everything he can to prevent the Cardinals from losing again. He seems to be a guy that hates to lose. He's wired that way.
Yep.
And that's great as your quarterback. And because of his history, as you pointed out, this is all new to him. And, you know, he's going to do everything he possibly can to get this remedied.
Good stuff. I appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you.
You got it.
Darrell Moose Johnson there, NFL on Fox. Good stuff. Did the Cardinal 49er game. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sismat. Let's turn our attention now to Arizona State and Oregon coming up on Saturday night. Not only is ASU playing the Ducks, but at the same time, Hamilton High School is in the Open Division Final Four. And you'll hear a shuck in the Final Four in the Hamilton game against Saguaro. And you may hear a shuck on the field at the Oregon-ASU game because Tyler Shuck, of course, is the quarterback with the Ducks, former Hamilton Husky. So legions are divided. Your house, are they going to be at your game? Are they going to be at Brady's game? How is this all working, or do you even know?
Yeah, no, that's something we've been talking about this whole week. And unfortunately, the game is played on Saturday for Hamilton, and they're similar times. So my mom already had the whole tailgate party going with a lot of the Duck parents. So she's going to come to my game for the start, and then my dad's going to go to Brady's game, and then usually high school games are a little quicker than college, so if there's time, they'll come after.
So mom's not going to leave your game, though, right? She's not going to flip-flop?
Yeah, no, she's not going to leave. I don't think she can. She already had the prearranged park and stuff, so she's got to go there.
Yeah, moms can't leave their sons. They just can't do this.
I told them to go to Brady's game. You know, I mean, that's important. I mean, him in the playoffs, and this is just a regular season game for us, and, you know, he's most definitely going to play, and it's a big game for them, but I just kind of how it all shaked out.
Okay, what can he do on the football field that you can't?
Just about everything else besides throw, I guess. You know, he's obviously he's obviously a huge playmaker for them. You know, it's been fun watching him. I mean, from afar at least. I mean, he's doing both like great things on and off the football field, both sides of the ball. So I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, he's got a future beyond high school, right? It sure looks like it.
Most definitely. I mean, he's definitely more athletic than me when it comes to football. So, and he's just, I mean, he's still growing too. That's the crazy thing. You know, he's obviously about 6'3", 180 something now, and he's, I mean, he's got a few more inches and a lot more pounds to go. So, it's pretty exciting to see what he's gonna do.
Okay, I have to say that I have been cheering and rooting for you. It's very exciting to see a hometown kid make it and make it in the situation that you're in at Oregon. In all seriousness, Tyler, I don't think you could have scripted it any better. You're learning. You've got Coach Cristobal there. You're in a space where you've got a quarterback in front of you looking at the NFL draft. I mean, it looks like from a distance everything has worked out well for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been some bumps and trials along the way, I mean, as everything should be, but I mean, so far, I mean, I felt really comfortable with my process, you know, learning from the guy ahead of me, learning from my teammates, my coaches. It's been a great process so far, and all I can do right now is just be ready when my name is called. And I'm excited for our team this year, and we can finish it off strong.
You've been able to get out on the field some. When you have been on the field, you've been able to produce. The limited number of snaps, have you been pleased? Do you feel like you've grown?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, whenever I get my opportunity, I do my best to perform for my team. And obviously, it's difficult sometimes when you can't really warm up and you be the starter and you're out there for the whole game. But whenever I get my chance, you know, I felt I've done my best and gave it my all out there.
What has Justin helped you with most, or is he just on his own doing his thing?
He's helped me physically wise. You know, we're kind of different people personality. He kind of does his own thing in that aspect. But obviously, he's such a dominant physical presence on the football field. I try and learn from that aspect.
What have you learned about being at Oregon? Just tell me about the school life, how you've grown in being at Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge deal. I mean, I've grown so much, and that was part of the reason I wanted to get out of Arizona and try new things and just explore. And I mean, basically get uncomfortable meeting new people, being in a new area, different weather. You know, I found my relationship with God here. I mean, I met new people. Just at the school, the whole community has been great. And I mean, it's been a jump start on my life so far.
Saturday night. When was the last time you were in Sun Devil Stadium?
I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
When was the last time you were in Sun Devil Stadium?
I mean, it was probably on an ASU visit or during a high school football game. So it's been a while. I mean, I've never actually gotten to play in there personally or – but I've always just been in the stands watching, so it's going to be pretty exciting to actually be in the stadium and get out there on the field.
Why do you think ASU didn't recruit you more?
I mean, I know they had in the previous staff with Coach Graham, they had other quarterbacks that they were really high on at the time. They were trying to get them to commit. So, and I didn't think they didn't want to make them mad by offering me. That was my understanding of it. But as the coaching changes, it was just kind of late in the process, and I was already committed to somewhere else.
And Coach Cristobal coming in, what was it about him that made you say Oregon's my spot?
Just a dominant and great coach he was, and how he was always honest with me from the start. And I knew he was a great guy. It was obviously difficult when we had coaching changes here, but just the production of numbers they had. My thought process at the time was that Justin was going to leave, but ended up working out for the better. You know, I could get more time to grow and get my chance. So, I mean, overall, I mean, I was extremely happy with my decision and where we're at for my year.
Before I let you go, Tyler, tell me about school and, like, classes, what you're majoring in, how that's all going.
Yeah, I mean, it's going great. I mean, I'm almost done with my major now. I'm majoring in criminal justice and minoring in political science. I'm hoping to get in the field of, like, the FBI or Secret Service after football ends. So I've been doing some internships here with local police departments and stuff like that. So it's been – I mean, University of Oregon, I mean, has a lot of great connections. You know, there's a huge Nike connection here. You know, I've gotten to talk with Phil Knight, creator of Nike, a couple times. So, I mean, it's just a great opportunity for Duck athletes to branch out in the community.
What's a class load look like in that major in criminal justice? What are some, like, classes you're taking that you're thinking, well, you know what, Brad, 5 years ago I would have never, ever even thought about taking this or that?
No, there's definitely some difficult ones. You know, you got constitutional law that I'm taking right now. There's, like, higher-level political science thinking classes. Where you just – a lot of nitty-gritty reading and writing and stuff like that. It doesn't sound too pleasant, but, I mean, it's interesting for me to read about and just learn about.
And you've got yoga, too. I know you got to run off to yoga, so go do your poses. And it sounds like everything's going great, and I appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
It's Tyler Shuck with us via Skype from the University of Oregon, Oregon and ASU on Saturday night at the same time as little brother Brady playing in the Final Four of the Open Division, Hamilton against Saguaro. That is good stuff right there. Sports360AZ.com. Michael Fabiano is next. And now let's turn our attention to the fantasy football world with the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network Senior Fantasy Analyst, checking in weekly segment, looking back on the weekend, the injuries, and already people are saying, okay, Bo Scarborough, Emmanuel Sanders, Tony Pollard, all of that, but I have to start with David Johnson, because Michael, in the last few years that we've been together, I don't know if I've seen a player have a more precipitous drop-off than David Johnson for everything that he was given. And he's a good dude. You like him. I like him. But he's a nothing over here now. It's amazing what's gone on with him.
Yeah, and I don't even know why he's active. I mean, you know, he played seven snaps. He didn't touch the ball. And it stinks because, again, he's a great guy. He has been a fantasy superstar in the past. But with the bye coming up, it gives him a chance to get healthy. But also keep in mind, it gives Chase Edmonds a chance to get healthier too. And we talked about David Johnson as potentially being a guy you drop in your fantasy leagues at this point because
you have to.
Arizona's in a bye coming up.
Yep.
He has scored 0.2 points, basically, in his last couple of games where he's actually been active. And with Chase Edmonds coming back, I mean, a two-headed monster, which actually isn't. It's really just Kenyon Drake, becomes a three-headed monster. And at this point, like, say Jalen Samuels is out there on the waiver wire, for example, right? Maybe somebody cut him thinking James Conner was healthy. I could see a scenario where someone drops David Johnson this week to pick up Jalen Samuels.
Yep.
And it's gotten to that point. And David was having a pretty good season before the injuries. And now when the Cardinals went out and got Kenyon Drake, you knew something wasn't right. You knew something wasn't right. And I wonder if he's going to be right again for the rest of the season. And it's too bad because he's a great guy and he's a great player.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where change of scenery is probably what's going on here. And probably coming from the coach and general manager's office, in particular the general manager's office, from what I've been able to ascertain. So let's go from that to James Conner. And these are just, what's the latest? These are questions I'm getting tossed at me. James Conner, Michael, where are you at with James Conner?
I am not the doctor for the Steelers. I just, reading the tea leaves, would be surprised if he plays this week. Hopefully he does, because he has got a great matchup against Cincinnati, and if he's out, well, you're looking at Jalen Samuels. But remember, Conner had a couple of weeks to get healthy, and then he came back on Thursday night and didn't last a quarter, re-aggravating that shoulder. So to me, you give him 10 days, is that going to get him right? I don't know. So if Samuels is out there, go get him. If you have James Conner, hopefully you already have Jalen as a handcuff, because the matchup this week is terrific. But one thing that we have learned over the last almost two seasons is that as good as James Conner is, he is not durable, and he's a bit of a risk.
Bo Scarborough. Getting a lot of questions about Bo Scarborough.
Where did that come from?
I know, like, right?
I had J.D. McKissic. Like, the Lions backfield went from Kerryon Johnson is a must-start every single week to I don't know who the hell to play. And we thought it was J.D. McKissic this week. The Cowboys had struggled against pass-catching running backs. And suddenly, Bo Scarborough in a revenge game, because remember, he started his career with the Cowboys. He was on the roster for a hot minute. He comes in and scores a touchdown. Now, they've got the Redskins coming up next week. Honestly, every single guy, and like if Ty Johnson comes out and leads the team and snaps and touches, would you be surprised? No, but Scarborough's going to be added in fantasy leagues this week because he led that team in snaps and touches against the Dallas Cowboys. It's basically a situation to avoid. But when you have four teams on a bye, and you know we're looking at Bo Scarborough and Jonathan Williams this week because Marlon Mack's going to miss several games because of a broken hand. It's thin right there on the waiver wire at running back.
No, we're at that point of the season where it's just thin. Tony Pollard's a name fans have been throwing at me this morning.
Yeah, and I mean, no one saw that coming. And to be quite honest with you, I wouldn't pick him up unless you have Zeke and he's sort of like your handcuff, because they've got New England next week. That's going to be a really interesting game, not only for me as a Cowboys fan, but from a fantasy perspective, because Dak Prescott has been so good. And he's had two bad games all year long in terms of his fantasy production. And now he's going to Gillette to play the Patriots. That's going to be a very interesting game for the Cowboys Let's put it that way. But, yeah, Tony Pollard's a handcuff. He's not a guy I would start.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We're talking with Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst. Tom Brady went off after the game yesterday in his own way about how disappointed he was with how the team played. They did win the game, but offensively they're not getting their act together. From a fantasy perspective, what do you make out of what's going on in New England? And is it avoid at all costs with Patriots? What do you think?
No, to be quite honest with you, I think Brady's a good play this week. Number one, squeaky wheel. And, I mean, this guy's a legend. So I feel like the Patriots are going to want to come out and throw the football and appease Tom Brady. Now, when you look at the matchup, you think, wait, the Cowboys have been pretty tough on quarterbacks. But keep this in mind, and I said this before, and I say we because I'm a Cowboys fan, played Kirk Cousins. The Cowboys haven't played any good quarterbacks this year, okay? When they played Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones had four touchdowns, and Rodgers didn't do anything because he didn't need to, okay? Sam Darnold had almost 20 points against the Cowboys. This kid, Jeff Driscoll from Detroit, had almost 30 against us yesterday. The week before, Kirk Cousins, 19 fantasy points. The Cowboys' defense is regressing a little bit over the last couple of weeks. And I really feel like Tom Brady is a good play this week. And I get it. His numbers haven't been great. But keep this in mind. His last good game was against Cleveland. That was in week 8. The week before he played the Jets, they were crushing the Jets. They didn't need to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. The week after, he had a tough game in Baltimore. Then the Eagles' defense, like, people have to get this right. They're a different defense at home as opposed to playing on the road. And so I'm not surprised Brady didn't put up a great line because the Eagles are tough at home. But this week against the Cowboys, and then he's got Houston, Kansas City, and then Cincinnati. That schedule is really good for Tom Brady. So I would play him this week if he's your QB1 or if you're sort of streaming quarterbacks between a couple of guys on your roster. I like Brady this week.
One other question. I'll let you go. Zach Ertz, a lot in the mailbag about Zach Ertz, what's going on at Philadelphia. I can't figure out Philadelphia because of injuries, but Ertz seems like the guy coming into this point of the season.
It's funny, too, because when you look at his numbers week 10, they weren't very good.
No.
And people were talking about Dallas Goedert seeing more opportunities, and yesterday that clearly wasn't the case. I mean, he had 9 catches, 94 yards, led the team in targets. And he's still a tight end one. Remember, Alshon Jeffrey's banged up. He didn't play yesterday, so the Eagles are dealing with some injuries. Even though Ertz did go through a stretch where he wasn't very good from a fantasy standpoint, at a position that is literally paper thin, where Jacob Hollister is now moving into the start him every week status, Ertz is a guy that you're going to play continually regardless.
Let's check off that, my friend. Thank you. Appreciate the time as always.
All right. Take care, bud.
It's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst with us, Sports360AZ.com.